Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Yes, my name is Wayne, and yesterday I accidentally cut off one of your piano tuner vehicles. When I pulled alongside to apologize, this Mexican lady started cussing me out in Spanish while flipping me off in English. Weirdest thing, though, there was this little white kid with her that never even looked up from his phone the whole time. Again, sorry for changing lanes and cutting her off. Man, what a mouth on that woman. She must have somebody at home that never stops yelling at her.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah! I want to, who's this half of the show here? Hey, Kyle Dunnigan. Good to see you, man.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. I want to thank Castrol for this half of the show, and MedMen for this half of the show, and Geico for this half of the show. Good to see you. He won an Emmy for that music video we just saw, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I got to say, because I always have guilt around this, because I got the Emmy, but the writers, you know, and Amy Schumer, like everyone helped with like lyrics stuff. I wrote the music 100%, but the people contributed, but just I got the Emmy. So when they, you know, had the show, you know, they have two Emmys. They do one week.
The televised, the non-televised.
Right. The other one was like on FX, like a week later. And I did this whole speech, like thanking everyone in the writer's room and everyone helped. And they cut it down where it just looked like I was like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, me.
Right.
And then I had to go back and be like, sorry, guys.
everything's such a group effort in comedy. And also, everyone's so wounded in comedy that it's a bad combination if one person just goes up there and grabs a Emmy.
But that's a catchy-ass hook, so you did your job.
I did do all of the music, and I do love to write music. It's my little I write music, and no one ever hears it. And when this came up, I was excited just to be able to do that. I play the piano like every day just for like therapy and stuff.
Do you need a tuner?
I would love to get a tuner.
I'll send my nanny by.
Adam's got a gal.
Well, yeah, just to get the joke, that's what I put on the side of my nanny's car. Because I was walking down the street and I saw a car parked in front of a neighbor's house that said piano tuning, and I thought, that guy's a winner. And I realized I wanted some of that status in the neighborhood, but I don't play the piano and I don't own a piano. And my kids don't play an instrument, and my wife doesn't play an instrument, but we do have a nanny because we're too lazy to raise our own kids. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, people look down on us with the nanny, but if I put the piano tuner on the nanny's car,
smart,
then I'll be a winner.
Yeah.
And that's me winning.
That is you winning.
Mm-hmm. So.
Get it?
Yeah.
I don't know why no one else has thought of this.
You're beating
it's
the
so
system.
Basic, you know what I mean?
You're right.
You're
it's
in
right
LA.
In plain sight.
You have a nanny. Yeah. She didn't come over on a Pegasus. She's got a car. You put the stupid thing on the side of her car.
You could do ads. You do more. I mean, you could cover the whole car.
Well, I like to think this is my coexist bumper sticker. Like, you know, all those assholes are at the Whole Foods on the west side with the coexist. We're like, I get it. Yeah. You're better than me. You're not doing shit about anything, but you put this coexist.
Symbolically.
This is my version of getting a little, little something, something.
We get it. You're better than us.
That's right. This is me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to gild the lily and put the coexist bumper sticker on the RAV4.
Yeah.
And you have no piano in your house.
No. No, we don't play the piano.
Not a piano.
I don't think we know people that play the piano. That's how far away from the piano we are.
Well, everything I write is cheesy, like boy band music. That's why I did that.
You definitely could just write a top 10 pop song.
I feel like I have a bunch, but I don't, maybe one day I will pursue that, just be a cheesy songwriter.
I'll tell you, if there is in a weird way, it's like I always say about logos, like it's not really art, but it's so simple, and there's a sort of a genius to a logo. Like it has to be completely right. Digestible in one glance.
Simple,
nothing
clever,
memorable.
And there's something about a pop song that's the same way.
Mm-hmm. They feel good. They're not cool. Like I wouldn't admit to liking a certain pop song, but I like some very cheesy songs.
Well, let's hear, and then I'll tell you why I love Avril Lavigne. I love chick, like 19-year-old chick, angry chick songs, yeah. pop angry chick songs. Mm-hmm. It's always great when they're little and cute and yelling at everybody.
Man, they don't know
Skater
themselves.
Boy.
Yeah, they don't know themselves. Yeah. What do you like? What do you like in the crappy pop department?
I mean, like, Bye Bye, that mm-hmm. song, like, gets me pumped up, and I don't tell anybody. Like, I'm only telling you guys.
I'm an Oom-bop guy all the way.
Yes. I love Oom-bop.
I love it.
Yeah.
When they came in and did, like, an acoustic Oom-bop, it was strong. Like, yeah. I really like
them. They're set up to be hated, but they're actually, like, not
Dust
that bad.
Brothers.
Is it?
What?
I mentioned yesterday.
That's right.
On the Beastie Boys
discussion.
Right. We've forgotten so quickly.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, we should introduce Kyle to the idea of Tool Tunes.
Tool Tunes.
He loves Tool Tunes. He just doesn't know it.
You'd be into this. This is an example of a song. So there's good songs. Everyone agrees are good songs. Everyone likes, and you can blast it from your radio with impunity, with the windows down. There's guilty pleasure, which is like, this song sucks, but I kind of like it. Then there's that sort of middle ground where this is a good song, like Mbop, and I like it, and I'll stand by it. But if I'm pulling up, it's playing in the car, and I'm pulling up to a crowded bus stop, I'm rolling the windows up.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to know that I like this Fred song.
Yeah.
Dawson, you got the version from our studio. Yeah, it's stuff you love, but...
You want the edgy version?
You'd be a little embarrassed if...
What's that?
This is some Toolier.
This is them sitting right there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No way. Yeah, they're good.
I recommend a shot of Smirnoff and some acoustic Hanson, man. That's going to make every fucking afternoon into fucking Shangri-La.
I'm more of a Kettle One man myself.
That's awesome. When you get up, tell me who is still
care. Can you tell me who is still care? Whoa, okay.
Kyle, jump in.
Jump in.
Boom, yeah. There it is. The fourth Hanson brother.
Turn it up, Dawson. Come on, Kyle. Jump in there. Dance, monkey.
Hanson. Yeah, they should have a rap break. That'd be cooler. Like,
featuring,
If you bop all the time, you can say those words and kind of rhyme. But the problem is with the bop, you know, something.
Yeah. Just sort of.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Get credit. Bop it. Yeah. Girl.
DJ Khaled. A Hanson song.
That oom-bop, yeah, come on, girl. This is a cool song now. Yeah. Come on, girl, oom-bop it. My girl wasn't oom-bopping enough, so I told her oom-bop just a little more. So she oom-bop. You guys know what I'm doing.
You fit it really well. Put your hands up.
Yeah, they were just sitting 3 feet away doing this, and it was.
Did you find
impressive.
Yourself like a teen girl, like, wow, there they are? And
well, I do.
There was broth.
I have two sort of settings. There's a part of me that goes, oh, this is why you guys sold 11 million units of your first record. Like, I get what's going on here.
Yeah.
And then there's Yoko Ono, where I'm still confused. But I always have this thing. Sometimes when you see the person in real life, or you see what they do, or you go to their, you know, there might be a comedian that you make fun of, you go, oh, that guy's no good, is that funny? But you go to a show, you see what he does or she does, and you go, oh, now I get it.
Right. Yeah.
I think
you don't like Yoko
kinda...
Ono, though, huh?
No, I
talk about that song. You don't like that one?
No, but she should get together with Edith from All in the Family and do a duet.
Because
I think I would
rather. Yoko Ono's here.
I would buy an album called Edith Sings Ballads for Young Lovers before I would get a Yoko Ono. I actually would.
You know.
Who's in the tour, Edith?
It's Yoko Ono. Is now a terrible time to tell you that I have another Yoko song in the news?
Oh, you do?
A new release? I do.
and a boy band story.
Oh, boy.
With music.
Wow. Bam. Yeah. So, Kyle, I know you do a ton of impersonations, and I know that your Instagram is huge. And
it's
by the
great.
Way, that's at Kyle Dunnigan 1. And I was looking down, and, you know, there's the Donald Trumps, but then there's Bill Maher. And I never hear a good Bill Maher, but I watch Bill Maher, and I feel like he's ripe for the picking, but I never hear anyone do Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Kyle's, it's magical. His Bill Maher's magical. Yeah.
Do you people really think I'm going to do it now? I'm not. Okay? I'm not your little monkey.
That was great.
That was amazing.
That is awesome. There's no God. Okay? All of you driving in your cars right now, when you die, you're just going to rot in the ground. Enjoy work.
We can recreate maybe a Bill Maher. I was at Seth MacFarlane's Christmas party, and I ran into Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. And I know he's not married and he doesn't have kids, which is fine. I do not judge. But I am married and I do have kids, and I really love the shit out of my kids. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't believe it.
His not whole, into it.
It's like when people talk to me about poi. I'm like, oh, come on. No, it's good, bro.
And no,
I'm
like,
no, it isn't.
You can sit there and convince yourself.
Yeah, Vegemite and poi. Yeah. Like, you cannot convince me. That's what it's like. So I'm talking to Bill, and I'm going like, I'm having a good time with my kids. And he's like, okay. So you can be Bill.
Okay.
We'll be at Seth MacFarlane's house.
Oh, hey, Adam.
Hey, Bill.
How are those little miniature people doing?
Oh, my kids, Sonny and Natalia. Right. So Sonny and Natalia. They're 11.
I'll never remember their names, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Sonny. For the boy, think Sonny Corleone.
Okay.
And then Natalia. Remember the actress from the 90s, Natalia Segluti, I think her name was?
Yeah, I fucked her.
Oh, yeah, well, she was, right, because she was hot.
Right.
But then she turned 25, and it's, I get it.
Anybody over 23, I'm not interested in, okay?
Right.
If you get any wrinkle on your face, you're out the door, you disgusting old whore.
Yeah. My wife is considerably older than Natalia Segluti was when you fucked her. But let's not digress.
Okay.
But I'm glad to hear that. So my kids.
Who you just must hate at this point.
No, they're great. Like, I had a catch with my son the other day. It was awesome. He has a football. It's not regulation size. It's more like Pop Warner size. But
so you love to play catch with someone who throws a ball at 1 mile an hour. Is that right?
Well, yeah, he doesn't, you know, it's not John Elway. He doesn't have a cannon for an arm. He's a little kid, you know, but it's more the thought, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Why don't you just toss it up in the air? It would come down faster.
Well, yeah, I could do that if I was alone, but what about the memories we're creating? The bonding, you know?
I don't see it. To be honest, I just don't get it. I don't believe you.
Well, my daughter, I mean, she's...
Oh, God.
Well,
you have a son and a daughter.
Well, they're twins, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, she's great, man. She's fun. We want
people who have twins say they love them and they don't. Okay, there's no way that you feel any love for your child, Adam.
But that's where you're wrong, Bill. I mean, I'm like you. I'm an atheist, and I was single, and I didn't think this was going to happen for me. But man, once I saw these two little precious bundles land on this planet, I fell in love immediately with both of them.
What do they do? Please tell me. Besides crap their pants, take money from you, and when they're between 13 and 25, hate the fuck out of you.
Oh, well, okay. Look, they're not earners now, per se. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're going to suck you dry their whole lives. Believe me.
Well, I'd like to think that maybe they get educated or find some
Do you realize
job.
They don't love you? Do you realize that, Adam?
I don't. I think they do.
They don't have the capacity to love. Okay.
Well, look, you know, Bill, you love animals, right?
Some of them.
Okay. And, you know, sometimes people go like, well, that dog's only, you know, being nice to you because you're the source of food for that dog. But I think that's unfair. I think the dog probably does like you. And he, you know, it's probably both. He wants some food and he likes me. And I
but
get
if
that
you leave your dog, you know, for 8 hours, when you come home, it's not fucking dead. Okay? You can't leave your child alone for 2 minutes.
Well, you're right. And especially like hot days in the car. And there is some sacrifice. Like you do have to spend some money and you have to focus on them. But you do it because you love them. And they love me.
Both those things are incorrect. I've got to go to the punch bowl to get more booze.
All right. Can you tell Seth I'll be by the vodka flume, ice vodka flume, and just come by and say
hi? Those problems away, Adam.
No, I'm just saying he's going to come by and say hi. Frank's a pretty big fan of the Family Guy.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
The Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love your show. I haven't been on in a while.
Yeah, I try to get guests that, you know, sort of know, have information about politics that would be interesting to other people.
Well, oh, wait a minute. That didn't feel good. I like to think I have a lot of opinions that your audience
well,
might find.
You don't, okay? You don't. You're very funny. You're a fun guy. You're the clown, okay? People on my show aren't clowns.
You know, I've never really thought is, you turn on Bill Maher's show, all he does is make fun of Trump. That's all he does. But in a way, they share a lot of the same vocalizations and mannerisms and kind of thoughts.
They're both terrific. Believe me.
Okay. Oh, you know. Well, I did, the marriage raff with Trump?
Yes, Trump, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
And was that?
Well,
they saved several marriages.
Pour us a hot cup of coffee of that.
I will, and I will offer some insights as to why he was able to win the election. because everyone's kind of like, what did he just do? Like, what did he do? He did to the country what he did to me at the marriage ref backstage. I'll be me.
Okay.
You be Trump.
Okay.
And or Tom Papa, whoever you do better. No.
Tom Papa.
Tom Papa.
Let's eat cake.
All right. I threw that out there.
The marriage ref.
You beat Trump. And
you beat Gloria Estefan.
I ran into him. She was the other guest. I ran into him backstage, and he walked right up to me, and he put his arm around me, and he said, this is going to be the best episode ever. It's going to crush in the ratings. I guarantee when you wake up the next day, you check the ratings and you see how much we crushed it. We're going to set a new record out of all the episodes they had. Ours would be the best. And I did what I always do, which is, oh, why would anyone watch me? Like, maybe you too, but I'm going to screw this up or something. And then I started thinking, maybe I am a winner. I'm a winner. Maybe we are winners. Maybe we're both winners. Yeah. I'm a winner.
Yeah.
And I started like feeling good.
Adam
like,
great again.
Momentarily felt good about myself.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Yeah. So you can play.
I always go back between those two things. Like sometimes I think it's good to lower your expectations so you don't feel bad if it doesn't work out. But it also, there is something you said about being, just thinking everything's going to be amazing. And if you fall short, you've still like, you're ready for it.
Well, why wasn't I sitting in the middle? It's glorious. All right.
So terrific.
If you think about it, the people that are full-blown bummers, you start to kind of gravitate away from them. Like, you don't want them in your life. Yeah. And then the people are like, this is awesome. Let's do it.
You want part of that.
You start going, oh. So now.
Hell yeah.
That's my dad. So that's micro. Let's go macro.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it. If you just get into the psychodynamic of it, Hillary Clinton is like, well, there's, you know, women are still getting paid less, and we got a lot of global warming going on, and the Middle East is on fire, and there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of inequity here, and Black America is suffering, Hispanic. If you're a woman of color, and then you got some other guy coming in and go, we're number one, bitch, and you're going to love it.
He said, we're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning.
Right. At a certain part, if you're at a party, at a certain point, you just start drifting over to the guy going like full Don King, waving the American flag. Yeah. We are going to get tired of winning. That's how I'm saying. And the other person is going, there's trouble. There's trouble in the Middle East. There's trouble in the world. But right here, the prison system screwed up. Everything's inequities. There's systemic racism, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, you're just going to kind of drift over to that guy, right?
Yeah. I think that's an interesting and a real thing that happened. Yeah, there's people in my life that you're a little negative, and it does, you sort of go down to their energy level
and start avoiding them.
Yeah,
but eventually you start planning like, hey, we're going to go to dinner, and we're going to invite a few people.
Yeah,
do you invite the bummer? Like at a certain point, it's kind of like I want to have a good time here.
Forget to invite them.
To your point, since Ronald Reagan, it seems like every time there's been two presidential candidates, the more magnetic personality, the more dynamic personality, the person you want to see more of is the one who's won. You can make the argument against the first George Bush, but every other one has been, you know,
a certain charisma.
You do have to be kind of a sociopath, though, to be like that to all the time, which it seems like he is like that all the time.
Yeah, or just whenever there's a camera on. All right, you can start working on your Trump. I'm going to see you backstage at the marriage ref.
Me.
I'll be me.
Okay, you be you.
I won't do as good a job with me as you do with Trump. And then you be the most positive why we're going to set the record ratings for the marriage ref. First, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Yeah, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine. See, that's a bummer of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge. Now I'm in a better mood. Engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction. Deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. It's Castrol Edge. It's just the best, man. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance of your engine. Oh, hey, Donald. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Adam? Terrific.
Yeah,
terrific.
I'm all right, you know.
Yeah, well, listen. Okay, listen. Okay, yeah. You're okay now. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be fantastic.
What's tomorrow morning? I got to leave. I got an early flight out of JFK.
Forget the flight. Cancel the flight.
Huh?
The ratings are going to be so phenomenal. The most terrific, unbelievable.
For this show?
For this show.
Well, I mean, you're great and all, but Gloria Estefan and me, you know what I mean?
Look, that's a couple of C-listers. Okay. It doesn't matter. The Trump aura will encompass you all, okay? Lifting waters. Okay?
Really?
Yes.
Well, the show is produced by Jerry Seinfeld, but he's not the host. It's Tom Papa.
Doesn't matter, okay? It can be hosted by a frog. Doesn't matter, okay?
A frog?
A frog could host this show. Still the ratings. The ratings, Adam.
You think they're going to be that good?
They're going to be the most phenomenal ratings ever in the history of broadcast, okay? The most fantastic.
They had Seinfeld on the first episode. I don't think we're going to be better than that.
He's terrible.
Is he?
He's poor.
I always thought
he's very poor compared to me.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything, but I always thought I was kind of funnier than that guy, but I don't want to get laughed out of the room, you know?
Look,
but
you're tremendous. You're the funniest person ever in the whole entire
universe. I tell that to my agent all the time. He's like,
Your agent's terrific. He's the most fantastical agent.
Hey, guys. It's me, Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh.
Hey, thanks for doing my show.
Jerry, you're the most fantastical comedian ever in the whole entire universe.
Thank you, Donald.
Believe me.
Thank you.
The number one comedian ever in the history.
Very flattering. Very flattering.
All right, Jerry, we'll be out in a minute. I just want to mop up here with Don over here.
Yeah, Don, have fun with your segment, producer. Yeah.
And then see you later, number one.
Okay, thank you.
Wait a minute. I thought you were talking about...
you guys breaking out there.
Terrific. Yeah, terrific.
I thought you were saying I was funny.
Yeah, you're number one.
Hold on.
Gorilla.
Oh, wait, how many number ones are there?
Most fantastical. Gorilla. Okay.
But wait a minute. We can't all be number one. Then no one's number one.
So quick.
Oh, yeah?
So quick.
You think I'm
number
fast
one.
On my feet?
Oh, sorry, guys.
Fantastic.
I left my pen in here.
Number one.
Don, it's the pen is right on the other side.
It's Jerry Seinfeld.
You're flattering
me. To be in your presence is tremendous.
You're flattering me.
We'll be out in a second, Jerry.
We'll see you, Jerry.
So long.
Hold on. You just said he was number one again.
He's terrific. Terrific.
But what about me? I thought I was the best.
Number one.
You know what?
Number one.
I'm number one.
That's right.
Fast on my feet,
he's
right?
He's terrible.
I don't know where this stuff comes. Terrible. I just dream, bam.
Very, very quick.
I tell the writers in the writers' room.
You don't need writers.
Yeah, that's what I say. You're fired. But before I fire him, I say, don't be a comedy warehouse. Be a comedy factory. And then I point at myself.
Both
you know
thumbs
what I mean?
Or one thumb. What do? You go, this.
Well, if I'm holding a coffee, I only
just
do the one thumb because I learned the hard way. You do two thumbs while holding a hot cup.
One more thing.
Hey,
I forgot to tell you, the mics have been a little tricky, so make sure you dug
back. This guy does tech stuff, too.
That's right.
Fantastic.
I take my show seriously.
He's okay.
He's okay.
The most fantastical band.
Anyway, so
terrific.
Carry
we'll
on
see you later.
Solo.
Number one. Adam, you're terrific. Number one. You're number one.
Was it like that?
I never felt better. I swear to God. And it was like, next day, check the ratings. Like, you check the ratings. I like when people, where you have no way to check back with them, check those ratings, then come find me. You're in a helicopter. What do you mean? You're in a helicopter with retractable landing gear. How would I find you?
Just whisper
come
into
find
the
me.
Wind.
We cut to Donald Trump's office the next day.
Who's that?
Oh, Gina, you got to be. It's Adam Carolla. You're the secretary.
Adam Carolla, Mr. Trump.
Oh. You don't sound anything like him.
Would you like me to place him on hold for you?
Who are you?
I'm your secretary.
You're the most fantastic secretary. The most solid gold platinum secretary. Phone answering terrific in the universe. Believe me.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
What an adorable voice. Put that hilarious comedian on the phone.
One moment.
It does feel good. Like, I'm starting to feel good.
You feel good, right? Like, yeah. I felt good.
Yeah, we're all great.
I was like, I've never felt better about taping a show. I've never felt like we're going to win, that we're number one, that we're going to, not you only we're going to be number one, we're going to crush everyone around us.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to crush all our competitors. Everyone who dared to put on a TV show in the same time slot we're on, destroyed.
Incredible. I do daily affirmation. I just started doing this. This is also embarrassing, like liking boy band tunes. But every morning I get up and I do 10 minutes of affirmations that I don't believe.
Yeah.
At all.
Now, if you believe him, you wouldn't do it. Dane Cook doesn't need to do it. He believes it.
Yeah. You need to do it. I'm hoping after a while I'll just hear those thoughts.
What I want to know, I'm curious. I'll tell you what. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news, and Kyle will hang out. But, Kyle, I want to – I'm a huge fan or proponent or something of, you know, sort of act as if.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a lot of therapy, sort of been around it, sort of figured it out, and realized you just act happy or you be positive or you do whatever successful people do or whatever, and eventually you just are that.
Yeah.
You just
follows.
Are that. You don't need to lay down on a sofa and work it out with a guy
right.
with an accent. You can just go live it. And I'm sort of that way with the affirmation thing. I like that.
Yeah, because it counteracts like the negative thinking like that a lot of people have. And there's this thing, it's 5-4-3-2-1. You ever hear that?
Mm-mm.
It's just a lady came up with this thing where you go 5-4-3-2-1 and you go. Because a lot of people are stopped from doing things because of, you know, their voices in their head. And that kind of signals like you're prefrontal lobe or something to go to action. Because people like Trump, who probably is borderline sociopath, they just do stuff because they're not, there's no voice going, hey, you shouldn't do that.
Right. And I think we all think somebody's going to tap
that
us.
That was a terrific cough there.
Thank you. I cleared my throat. They call it a frog. You said a frog could host the show, but I don't know if my throat could host the show. I always have this feeling that someone's going to like tap me on the shoulder and go, excuse me, what are you doing? Because you're not supposed to be doing this. But no, nobody does that. You can be president. No one stops you along the way. Like, we think there's people around us that are going to go, hey, imposter, you're not that good or get away from that.
Mm-hmm. You're a fraud. We know it.
I'm going in a week to make my pilgrimage to Laguna Seca and up north and do one of the biggest car race events in the world. And I sat around and watched the thing for like a good 7 years because I had this fantasy that if I got into a fire suit and got my, you know, all my gear on and like got into a car that someone was going to like come up to me and go, excuse me, what are you doing? And I'm going like, well, I'm joining in the race. And they go like, you don't get, you're from North Hollywood. Okay. Your dad's Jim Carolla. This is rich people racing Ferraris and Porsches. That's not you. Yeah. Okay. So get out of the car.
Mm-hmm. Like, nice try.
Fantasy that people are going to like spot you or beyond you. Mm-hmm. And you realize, oh no, you can just go do it.
Absolutely.
You can just go do it. But most people live in this fear-based world.
I'm starting a podcast now. I haven't started yet.
Oh, but like, not going to go well.
I mean, I feel like
you'll be funny with the first couple episodes with the Trump and the Tom Papa and everything, but eventually you got some meat on that bone. But go ahead.
I only want to do 3 episodes.
Okay. Oh, that's why. Trump, Tom Papa, and then Mar. And
I do feel like an imposter right now. I'm like, I don't have any business doing a podcast, but I'll just do it.
I do like, you do like those people for neighbors, though, don't you?
Sure, they take care of things.
Sad. I'll tell Kyle the saddest thing I ever said to my mom, which is I just said,
oh, yeah.
I like people with low self-esteem. Like last time I saw her, I realized I like people with low self-esteem. Not people who beat themselves up, and not people who are downers, just people who don't think they're great.
Little not good enough.
And then my mom said the saddest thing a mom has ever said to a son, which is she went, I have low self-esteem. How come you don't like me?
Oh.
And then I had to say, I kind of like the Dr. Drew variety of low self-esteem where they do a bunch of shit for you.
Did she think you really don't like her? Or was
she knows.
Yeah,
why don't you like your mom? Did we already tread over this?
Just because she was a bad mom.
We should listen to the last 500 episodes of the podcast.
wasn't super attentive, quote unquote.
Don't know how to if you listen to any random 4 minutes of any podcast I've ever done, including, you know, Joe Rogan's podcast, uh-huh. you'll find out. All right, let's take a quickie break. We'll come back. We'll do the news with Kyle.
This week at AdamCarolla.com, Take a Knee with Adam Carolla and Alan Gannett.
This is what people get wrong when it comes to creativity. They think creativity is about radical newness, it's about creating something really different. But that's not actually true. I mean, we've all heard the quotes, you know, great artists steal, Picasso said it, Steve Jobs said it, Kanye West just said something very similar on Twitter. But what you find when you look at the best creative products and creative outputs is they're much more iterative than you'd expect. Think about with Apple, right? The iPod was a better MP3 player. The iPhone was an iPod with a phone. The iPad was an iPhone without the phone. They're not actually these big leaps and bounds. And I think we have this notion of creativity as radical newness, and that's just wrong.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at AdamCarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We're going to start with some hot music news because we've been talking about that this show. A little bit of a theme. Yoko Ono has released another track new album, Warzone.
Edith Bunker dropped another.
You're going to love this. Buzz.com, who interviewed Ono for the album, described the new song called Where Do We Go From Here as using, quote, simple, harsh images to create a point about the world we're living in. The track will be featured on Ono's upcoming LP, Warzone, out October 19th. If you can stand it, I highly doubt it. I have about 40 seconds for you. this is from her new song.
All right.
If you sweep the shelters and asylums, you'll find women who shouldn't be there. If you sweep the dark streets and alleys, you'll find tradesmen who shouldn't be there.
Tradesmen?
Ding dong hell.
Yeah, there's the hook.
Pussy in the well.
That's the low.
Cats on the hill.
Where's this one?
Huh?
Where's
ready
this one?
To kill.
Gives you a lot to think
Here's
about.
Here's what I think about. Okay, art, art,
art.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it should make you feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. She's a comedian.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make me feel music. It makes me like kind of laugh a little.
I'm kind of convinced that at some point she's just going to unzip herself and a small Jewish guy from the Bay Area is going to pop out and go, this has been
there
a long fucking experiment. Boy, did I hate sucking off John Lennon. But other than that, it's been a great ride.
It was hard to do that accent all those years, but they did it.
Yeah. And the, but here's what I wish. Like, I don't know why I like cars. I was thinking about, like, they're guys and they paint cars, and it's pretty painstaking. Like, they have to sand it, and they have to media blast it and get it down to the bare metal, and they have to, like, use a hammer and a dolly and, like, a beanbag and get all the dents out, and then sometimes weld in new panels and then take it down. And at the end, it just looks like glass. Like, you can take an old rusty car, an old vintage, like a Jag from the 60s, got a lot of rust damage or was hit in the front end or blah, 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 and you pull out all the Bondo and you scrape up all the paint, and there's artistry in it. And then at the end, you go, wow, this thing looks like it just left the factory. But there is no version where the paint's bubbling, there's like a fly stuck to it, and there's a bunch of Bondo bulging out on the side, where I get to go as the guy who paints cars. Hey, man, that's the way I do it. Right. You go, But it looks like shit. And you go, hey, if you don't get it, then that's on you. That's on you.
Yeah.
And like when I was a carpenter, I'd hang a door. But if the deadbolt didn't work because you had to lift the door to pull the deadbolt in or the thing dragged along the ground, I didn't get to say to the person, hey, man, open your mind.
Yeah.
You don't, because you're uptight, you don't get to. This is the way I hang doors, okay? So if you're all uptight about hanging doors.
My doors don't open.
Yeah. And that's the way I roll. And you don't get it as an artist carpenter. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no room for that, especially like when you're manufacturing aircraft and stuff like that. Our engines catch on fire, okay? That's how we do it. It doesn't exist, but she gets to live her whole life under the fucking veil of, you don't get it. Because this is what I do. I don't sing. I don't make music. I don't possess talent. Nobody likes me. I have no discernible ability whatsoever. But it's your fault for being uptight.
Yeah.
I just wish I could bring that into the trades.
It's the perfect ruse.
Usually it's checks and balances. Like, if you're not, people aren't buying your albums, you go away. But she never went away. She just kept making. And decades, people are interested because she's
independent, like, I don't know, Max Patty. You have to look it up. But is it the John Lennon... Like, would she have to get a gig at a Chick-fil-A or work in a drive-thru at the Taco Bell or selling shoes or something if she was just a normal person?
Yeah, I'll do one further. Absolutely. Whatever would hurt her name if it wasn't for John Lennon.
Yeah, we want to see what all the fuss is about.
Mm-hmm.
Who captured the heart of John Lennon?
How could she make money, you're saying? Like, what if she was just herself on her own? How would she make money? What would she do?
I don't think she could be a guide at Universal Studios. Like, she could work that mic on that tram. Yeah. No way.
Like, she's, and I can't say because I don't speak two languages, and that's impressive. But like her and Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, there's been no improvement in the accent over.
You know, it's a weird thing whenever you talk to somebody who learned a language, they'll go, well, I just started watching TV shows in Korean or something, and 2 years later, I spoke fluently. Or I moved to Strudeldorf and lived there for 9 months when I was in college, and I just picked, and then you go, okay, Schwarzenegger, what? Your accent is every bit. He's been here for 50 years. Yeah. It's exactly the same as when I was going to say stepped off a plane, but you stepped off a boat.
Like, he's got a terrific accent, believe me.
How much of it is him? That being him?
I think it could be part of the brand, honestly. We all know Arnold because of what he sounds like and what he looks like.
But wouldn't naturally, I don't know, go away?
Wait a second. Adam, one of your oldest friends has the exact same problem, if not worse.
Oswaldo?
Yeah.
That's a noise. Oswaldo?
What is Madame Bionario Meng?
He's still in here for 30 years. He's
unintelligible.
It's unintelligible. I don't know how. I do ask myself how that works. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what ends up happening. What ends up happening is whatever relationship I have with my daughter, which is like, hey, if you're going to drink chocolate milk and you're going to leave it in a glass, and when it sits overnight, it like gets all crusty, you got to bring that. Oh, fuck it. I'll get it. And then you just go in and get the thing and bust it back in and put water in it.
Same thing applies.
I did that with Oswaldo, when they start building stuff and working on, like, I can't understand a fucking word you're saying. And eventually, I just had to understand what he said.
Yeah.
He never understood what I said. I started figuring out his speech patterns and his words, and I could sort of, I'm the one who had to learn another language in the United States, so
maybe
I could work with the guy.
Have like their ear isn't as good, because I know someone who, I had no idea she grew up in another country. Her accent was so great. And, you know, she was like, like when she started speaking Swedish, it was like a completely different person.
It is interesting. I did find out from my barber many years ago who...
We get it. You have a barber.
Famously
said. You have a piano tuner and a barber. We get
ooh
it.
La la. Here's how, Hollywood.
Here's how you know you don't care about your hair. Every time you move, you get a new barber.
Yeah.
The people who care about their hair are like, I got to go to Reseda.
Why
are you
going
to Reseda to go to get your hair cut? You're living La Cunada. It's like, because my old guy, he's back. Yeah. And it's like, well, there's a new guy. There's Fantastic Sam's everywhere. And it's I go back. Yeah, right.
I cut my own hair.
Oh, I like
there you
that.
Go.
Same.
What am I going to look like 1% better if I pay someone $60 to cut it?
I concur. So I get like $14 haircuts. But either way, my old guy... He told me one day, he was thinking about, he knows I'm a car guy. He said he was thinking about trading in his Bobo for a Saab. And I said, your Volvo for a Saab? Yeah. So I said, a Bobo for a Saab. And I said, well, wait a minute. You're saying the V. Well, you're putting the V in the wrong place, but you're putting the B, but you're saying them both.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I want to get a Bobo, and then maybe I'll trade the Bobo in and I'll get the Saab. And I was like, you're saying both now. You just put them in the right place. And he's like, and so I'm like, Volvo. And he's like, Bobo. I'm like, no, it's Volvo and Bobo. And then after I toggled back and forth 9 times, I got pissed. Like, it's not Bobo, it's Volvo. You understand? Mm. It's not Saab, it's Saab. Okay? It's not Saab, it's Volvo, not Bobo. And I'm like, wait a minute. I just went back and forth 8 times. Why can't you do it once? I had to put a pencil in his mouth.
Yeah.
Sideways. I'm not a weirdo.
Right.
And I was looking at him like in the mirror while I was sitting there, and he was putting the pencil in his mouth across, and he's like going, whoa. It was like he couldn't get his mouth to move.
Can I recall your hair?
The person I want to punch in the fucking stomach is the blue-eyed chick who's like one of my mom's friends growing up. And I go, in their language, I get it. It's different. That's why he can't pronounce that. I get it, but can he move?
Yeah.
Can he move it a little bit? Yeah. Like I just did.
Like if it's spelled B-O-B-O, like if is it Volvo he was trying to say?
Yes.
If it was spelled with, if you told him, imagine spelled B-O-L-B-O.
Yeah.
Right.
Would he say Volvo?
I think he would, although they always want to confound you. I think that's part of it.
Just make you mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're looking, the foreigners are looking at anger. And that's why we got to, build that wall.
Build that wall.
Who's going to pay for that wall?
Mexico.
Really?
Yeah, or Jerry Seinfeld.
the only two.
Two choices.
Seinfeld probably has more money than Mexico.
That's certainly possible.
All right, let me tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone. Drop the labels, teachers, executives, parents. At MedMen, you're a customer. They got something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis game or familiar with stuff like lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info, red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable. Puts you at ease. Check it out. One of their 8 locations. They're all over the place out here. There's L.A. There's Orange County. There's San Diego. Or you can go online and just find one of the locations that way. Find the one nearest to you at MedMen.com. That is MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
Let's stay on the music tip for a minute. New Kids on the Block will get back to their roots in a big way this fall, marking their 30th anniversary at the site of one of their earliest triumphs. NKOTB will take the stage on October 7th at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, where they first went over the crowd on Amateur Night performing Please Don't Go Girl. Fan club members will get first crack at those tickets. You gotta hurry. There's only 1,400 seats.
Is Timberlake in there?
No, that's insane.
Come on. If you want a little reminder, I have one for you. That performance featuring friend of the show, all-around good guy, Joey McIntyre. He was a young teen. Here's the first minute of their performance.
I like any song that says girl.
Girl.
Watch how they win over the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of booze.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, there's a general skepticism of white people.
That's great.
Is that a girl singing? Oh, she's in a
girl right up front.
I love
girl
it.
Girl woman.
Did Joey still hit the high notes?
Oh yeah, he's the youngest. He's the youngest little Matt Michael Jackson.
51.
You got your Jordan, your Jonathan, your Danny, your Donnie.
Their name's getting kind of ironical and funny because they're like in their 50s and they're like, new kids on the block.
It's still the newest.
Do you think there's a, remember in Reservoir Dogs and he's like assigning the colors, like you're Mr. Blue and you're Mr. Pink. He's like, what do I got to be Mr. Pink? Do you think there's ever that situation in a boy band? Like, you're the tough, pouting outside. Whoa, wait a minute, I'm outside and I pout. No, yes! No, you're the athletic, energetic one. Ooh, like in the Village People, it's like, no, I'm the refrigerator repairman. No, I do. I did. My dad was a refrigerator repairer. Okay, well, no one's going to have to know about that.
You're
no,
an idiot.
Hold on.
You're a biker, and that's that.
This is getting crazy. We can't have three guys who repair appliances. One guy's got to be a cop. Well, no way. My dad's in jail, okay? So I'm not going to be a cop. All right, well, listen. We'll just go by who fits the outfit the best, okay?
Yeah.
There has to be some of that, right?
Drawing personas.
We need like edgy, pouty. Yeah. We need
shy
boy.
Yeah.
We need the shiny face
quiet.
Guy.
Sneezy.
Yeah.
Right.
Dopey.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, a New York City judge has allowed a British woman's sex trafficking lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein to move forward.
Nice.
Aspiring actress Cadian Noble claims that the producer lured her to a hotel room in France 4 years ago, sexually assaulted her. Her lawyers have argued that Weinstein should be liable for damages under a sex trafficking law because he coerced her into sex in exchange for a movie role. Weinstein tried to get the
sex
civil...
Sex trafficking because...
I looked this up. This was very confusing. It sounds like it's a loophole because when I first saw that, I was like, did he take her over state lines? But there's a very specific part of the sex trafficking law that they think they can get him on with this.
Mm.
And now Weinstein tried to get the civil lawsuit dismissed. His lawyers argue that because no money and nothing of value changed hands, the allegations did not amount to sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
With Tuesday's ruling, the case would move forward to trial and set a legal precedent.
Did she get the role?
Oh, Brian.
No, who's
I don't know.
Serious.
Do you know who Cadian Noble is? Then she
we'll
might
find
she
out.
Might not
Cadian
have.
Noble.
I said a million
Cadian
years ago.
Noble?
Cadian. Cadian.
I said to Mark Gargas a year ago, that guy needs to flee. He needs to get a sack of money. Harvey Weinstein, get on an airplane and charter a plane and go somewhere that doesn't have extradition. And Gargas, who's, you know, as shady a lawyer as they come, went, oh, no, that's not the right thing to do. And I said, well, why not? He's gonna spend the rest of his life in prison, and he's going to have all this money. Like, spending your life in prison sucks in and of itself. Having a massive bank account filled with money that you'll never see again is got to be brutal. Like, having just a net worth of $150 million and be sitting in a hole with a toilet and no divider and no seat, that's
a game
the
changer.
Worst. That's a game changer. So I kept saying to Mark, go wherever
Polanski.
Roman Polanski's doing, like, go do it.
Maybe he's waiting to see if he, you know, what the verdict is, and then he'll flee.
He's going to be. I think he's going to be at some point. He's going to be a risk. Which he probably already is.
I'm surprised he's still here.
I should talk to him.
Yeah.
Didn't he leave to go to some rehab in some other country or something?
He went to Arizona.
Yeah, it's like Phoenix.
That's another country.
Yeah.
Some ways.
So, do we find out who she is?
She has one credit on IMDb, which would suggest she was in a position to, you know, he was in a position to further her career.
Yeah, everywhere I'm seeing says aspiring British actress.
Well, she looks good. I get it. All right.
I get it. This will be one of the many trials.
Well, it's always weird when you see the school teacher and it's like, she had sex with her students, and then they show the picture of her and you go, oh, come on. Or she's super hot and sitting on a Harley and Daisy Dukes. You go, oh, yeah.
Okay.
That show for sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how guys work.
That's classy.
I had weird thing. I was in Spain with a junior year, and our Spanish teacher was a little inappropriate thing, thinking back. At the time, you never thought that, but like, she got us drunk, then she was in my bed. Nothing like happened, but it was, nowadays it wouldn't be acceptable.
But she wanted to be everybody's buddy.
Yeah, she was like 24, which was sounded old when you're 18. But
damn.
Yeah.
She was right at our age.
Racing flags.
Mm. Yeah.
Good on you.
The thing about Weinstein is, although I like that we use this as evidence, he has a picture with his arm around everyone in Hollywood and every politician that's ever been born, and they're all just laughing it up.
Yeah.
So every time they do it, they'll just put the picture up, and it's like, look at him. He condones rape, and so does Matt Damon. Right, yeah. Like, look at Matt. He's never been happier to be hugging a rapist. Look at him. Look at him. He's in there. He's loving it.
Clearly an endorsement.
I just love that it's a science.
Yeah.
That you just, hey, there's a picture of him with OJ, too. Look at him laughing. They think murder's funny, don't they? It's this weird thing. Like, oh, my God. I used to like Matt Damon. Let me see the picture of him and OJ. And him and
Corroborated.
I just love that that's news. Hey, look at him. Hey. Oh, and Ben Affleck. Oh, they've never been happier. Look how happy they are.
Those criminals.
It does look like
I hope they go in the hole with him. Look at him.
Aiding and abetting.
It does look like they're laughing at sexual assault.
Oh, they are. Well, they most definitely are. I'm super sure of the unknowable. Oh, 1,000%. Kyle.
100%.
1,000.
1,000%.
1,000%. They're laughing it up good.
They love it.
They love it. He probably just smelled Harvey's fingers. Look
they
at
love
him.
Rape.
They're laughing.
Hilarious.
They're hilarious. They're laughing it up. They're every bit as guilty for laughing.
Gross.
Yep.
It's gross. I'll never watch another one of their movies. I just love that that's evidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting.
It does look like they're guilty. Looks like they're guilty. For some reason.
Well, look at them. Yeah. Like when people just keep yelling, look at them.
The evidence is right in front of you.
Them. You know they're up to something. Look
you
at them.
Look at them.
Just look at them.
Just look at them.
Look at them. He knows what he did. Look at him.
And they're great with the movie laughing like that.
Sorry. Yeah. Where were we?
So Yahoo News reports that prosecutors in Washington will consider charging an 18-year-old woman who pushed her teenage friend off a bridge, sending her plummeting 60 feet to the river below and leaving multiple injuries. Here, I'm going to show you the clip. Now, it's not just like they were on a bridge and she pushed her. They were all jumping off the bridge. And this girl wasn't ready.
Her
friend pushed her anyway, which you think, ha, ha, ha. Well, apparently, she broke ribs. She bruised her, like, esophagus. I mean, it was pretty gnarly. Taylor Smith allegedly pushed 16-year-old Jordan Holgerson off on August 7th. We're watching it right now. Mm-hmm. Surveillance camera footage shows the girl was standing on the bridge. She was pushed by another girl. She wasn't ready to leap. She said, I was going to do a countdown, and the girl just pushed her. Oh, she hit the water in a belly
camera.
Flop. It doesn't look, it looks like a friend. But
iPhone.
She did a belly flop 60 feet onto the water, broke a bunch of ribs, bruised her esophagus, injured her trachea. So this girl who pushed her as this little prank might go down for this.
There's a picture of her.
And I couldn't stop thinking about you and Ray.
I would not convict. Listen, as a guy who's had human fecal matter mashed into his ear during school hours at North Hollywood High. Look, you're young. We were different back then. And has had a marshmallow that's fully engulfed in flames, like burning like a torch, stuck onto the side of his face, and multiple other things of that. I've been ghost-ridden riding on the handlebars of a friend's bike who then launched me alone on the things. As the recipient of all that, I can tell you it just makes you stronger and more tolerant of others.
Once or five ribs heal?
If you survive. Now, you cannot go stand on a bridge in front of somebody who's a friend of yours and fixin' to jump into the water without having that person... It's an unwritten rule. You cannot stand in front of a body of water. You can't stand by a pool in a tuxedo. Someone's going to shove you. Someone's going to shove you in.
Yeah,
that's on you. You don't turn your back on a friend that way. I would not convict this girl at all. And by the way, I'm a big fan of the one who was planning on jumping herself too.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a ballsy move.
Yeah.
They're both winners. They both could do the marriage ref with me anytime.
High ratings. You know who else is like that?
Limbaugh. Both.
Natalia Carolla.
We went to Portland and outside of Portland, we did do the river thing and she did go up on the bridge and stand up on the railing and jump off. Like it was hairy. It was crazy. The water's freezing. I did it 1 year too, but the water's like subarctic river water. It's snow coming down from melted snow. And she just jumped off the railing and nailed it. It was badass. And I know that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now it's the one who was pushed pressing charges, because I don't think she is.
That's actually a really good question. I don't think she's involved. It seems like it's almost like the state against this girl because they're teenagers.
Max Spada can maybe find this out, but I'm telling you the code of honor amongst people who do super stupid shit is they don't press charges.
You don't snitch.
They don't snitch. Like when I was on the roof of the Mulholland Club at 1 a.m. when I was 17, naked, because we all broke into the Mulholland Club and was standing on the roof, and we're going to try to jump off the roof and miss the diving board and get to the swimming pool. I was actually giving a safety lecture to the rest of my drunken friends when a snake just went sailing off the roof in front of me.
That was his name.
That was his name.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we had our one friend, Rudy. Well, let me give you a little tale of Snake and Rudy.
All right.
We all broke into the Mulholland Club, as we would do, when no one had a swimming pool, and it was like dog days of summer, and we figured out Mulholland Club's up on top of Mulholland. They got a tennis court and a jacuzzi and a swimming pool, and if we just hike up this hill, this rock hill on the side, jump the fence, break into the Mulholland Club, and then we'd have free use of the pool, like all night. We'd bring beer there and girls, and it was fun. And then even sometimes they'd have a catered event, and they'd screw up, and they'd leave like chafing dishes Scraps. Out with food in it, and then we'd have a food fight. Yep. Oh. And at a certain point, then we got bored, so we went up to the second level and then put two outdoor tables on top of each other, and then climbed up the side of the building and grabbed like a piece of rigid conduit and pulled ourselves up, and we got on the roof. And we're going to see if we could run out and make it to the pool. It was like three stories below. And I was given a safety speech about, you know, there's a parapet, like the roof has a little parapet curb on it. Like, as you run out and clip that thing, you're going to land, you know, you're going to end up in a wheelchair operating with a straw for like a long time. So I'm giving a safety speech, and Snake just goes sailing. He just goes sailing past me in the middle of my safety speech. And Rudy wouldn't jump. It was like an hour later, we're all like in the pool, and Rudy was just standing on the edge, just frozen.
That would be me. Yeah.
And he was like trying to figure out a way to climb down, but you couldn't really climb down.
One
like
way
you had
down.
To go on these two outdoor tables that are like piled on top of each other. And eventually he just backed out. Years later, Snake is successful, living in Texas, wife and kids. Rudy featured in an episode of Hoarders.
No!
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So that tells you everything you need to know.
What else do you need to know?
What's
no risk,
so what
no
that
reward.
Did, what that chick did for the other chick is prevent her from being featured in an episode of Hoarders. Hoarders.
All right? Me later.
You're welcome.
Makes sense.
That's right. That's right.
So Snake was never featured in Intervention or anything. He was just successful.
He was just a successful guy.
God bless
I bet
him.
I've seen a lot of Hoarders. Do you remember like any specifics about that episode that might spark which one it was? Did you see it?
There's a lot of stuff in the house.
No, I was told by another friend that he was featured in an episode of Hoarders.
That's
along
tough.
With another family friend. When I said famously to my mom, how's Merlene doing? Didn't she used to babysit my nephew? Oh, she do good. She do good. She was recently featured in an episode of Hoarders. That was her
she's
response.
Doing well. Came before that?
Yeah. Came before. It was, when I said, how's our old neighbor, Eddie? Didn't he have twin daughters, right? Yeah, yeah. How they? They're like 20 now. I was like, how they doing? The one's in prison and the other not doing well. she has a little... Right. She kind of reverses. She buries the lead a lot. You know
Priority
what I mean?
Issue.
Like
they're doing good. They're dead.
No more problems.
No more pain.
All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Max, find out who's pressing charges.
Okay. So I
don't think the chick who got pushed is pressing. Maybe her parents are.
Well, the parents were like, when she got pushed, we know who did it. We want her to come out on her own and deal with the consequences. So a few days later, she did come out. She went on NBC News, has said that she, quote, feels really bad, quote, for pushing her friend off the 60-foot thing. She texted her friend, sorry, and she's right now cooperating with the authorities for potential charges.
She's fine. She's a winner. I'd hire her.
See if she wants a job.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Geico. Got the to-do list. Well, let's see. What do you want to do? Pick up the milk, take out the dry cleaning, push a friend off a bridge. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? You go to Geico, slide over to that computer, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket at Geico, geico.com. All right, let's do one more.
All right.
Geico, well, most fantastical insurance in the universe.
Oh, really?
That little lizard, terrific.
Terrific,
number
right?
one.
Number one.
Vaguely.
Oh, man.
Well, let's end on a music note. A group of Australian AC/DC fans got together over the weekend in hopes of setting a new Guinness World Record. 457 guitarists played Highway to Hell together at the Sydney Guitar Festival in an attempt to be named the largest electric guitar ensemble. Now, this title is held by 368 Indian guitarists who played Bob Dylan's classic Knocking on Heaven's Door together in 2013, but they're hoping to break it. Again, they probably have to fly the guy in and double check. Here's a snippet of the attempt of Highway to Hell by 457 guitarists.
Need a minute to pull this one up.
This is going
to
sound good.
Sorry?
Oh, we're going to need a minute to pull this one up.
Oh, sorry about that.
All right, let me filibuster here for a second. In the large group record-breaking stuff, in your, you know, you tell someone, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records, this doesn't
cut it. A bunch of dudes
there's
together.
There's two.
The originals are for comparison. Because we'll hear both, I'm sure.
Exactly.
There's only two that count in the large group record-breaking thing that get my respect. There's the skydive team creates a giant snowflake, you know, with 500 guys all interlocked while the ground is rushing toward them at 180 miles an hour. Those guys, that group, and then there's the gangbang.
Sure.
The sex stuff. Yeah. Those are the only two large groups.
Wait, there's no others? Just those
that
two.
Gets this podcaster's respect?
Okay. Okay.
No. Just you got to jump out of the plane or you got to jump on someone who's sexually abused.
Both.
Oh. If you can take the gangbang record and do it with the flying, jumping out of the cargo
plane.
You'll
have them in studio. Every one of them.
And Kyle, I think as somebody who's in the Guinness Book of World Records, I think he knows.
Oh, that's right. Most downloaded podcast.
Nice.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
So.
You didn't include
so that. And I'm also in there for as the only person who ever defends someone who pushes someone else off of a bridge. Yeah. I'm the only person that's ever defended. Yeah. So those are the two things. But, you know, the biggest pizza pie
or the
most group of people.
Biggest chili.
Because you could make up anything.
Right.
You
but
can.
Jumping out of the airplane, you don't fuck around with that. Like, you got to all hook your arms. There's got to be 285 of you.
Precision.
And that ground ain't, there's no mulligans with the ground.
Yeah. No pause sticks.
Yeah. The earth doesn't give mulligans.
I think there's some issue, too, that girl is 18 and the girl she pushes is 16. So I wonder if she's worried about being charged, like, tries an adult or something.
Airplane and gang. Yeah. What is the gangbang record and what is the airplane record?
Christian, you should know stuff you're
having. We should.
I got to confirm.
But Kyle's right. We should combine.
We should.
All right. So here's
save me a lot of time on the internet.
Yeah. Then you could just have one
just go
thing
to one. Go to one URL. Save some time.
Yeah. Here's a record that nobody cares about. Here it is.
Under 290 pounds.
This is a big moment. They've been practicing. They're so happy.
You think they could have mic'd this a little better?
Yeah. I gotta kick out all the dudes in with the acoustic guitars too. You guys just taking up room. This is the equivalent. The guy with the acoustic guitar is the equivalent to the gangbanger record guy who comes around again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Hello. Where's the sanctioning body when you need one?
I'll tell you, they did pick up the right song, though. That's a nice break for a group to do.
Yeah. Try this with flamenco and you're screwed.
Yoko's singing this song.
Oh, yeah.
This is pretty awesome. I would have, if this happened down the street from my house, I would have gotten a guitar.
Could you imagine this like a?
I would have too, and I don't even play the guitar. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone would have pulled me out.
What better place to play guitar when you don't play?
Man, if a suicide bomber knew about this event, just walking right in the middle of it with a bomb guitar bomb shit in the guitar.
Or just go nuts with the full El Cabong. Oh, I don't know if that's a group you'd want to go El Cabong on.
Absolutely not.
Be a lot of people returning fire.
That's right.
Especially, I don't know where they set this in Australia.
In Sydney.
Is that a rock your ground country?
That is a rock your ground nation.
So they could swing back, but if you want El Cabong on them, they'd come right back to you.
If you come at them with Back in Black, they have all the rights in the world.
They can rock
you
their
with
ground.
Highway to Hell. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what about this? All right, Gang Bang jumps out of the airplane, mm-hmm. making their snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
All around them, guitarists with like amps, just everything falling. Just
the amps are falling too?
I would watch
gang
that.
Gang Bang music.
What's the Gang Bang record, Max Banner?
I have 300. The world's biggest gang bang is Annabelle Chung had sex with 300 men.
Mm-hmm. What's the skydive? Is that more in like the 100, 200 range?
I'm still finding that out because I'm getting a bunch of different answers, so I don't want to...
Does she also set the record for most ice packs?
But it's average like 250, 300.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, she said it kept going for record.
We're in the same neighborhood. You know, we got the gangbang record at 300. We got the skydive record about 250.
Yeah.
Okay, people. Let's get going.
Match it up.
Come on now.
Pick your favorite.
I can't be the first person to bring this up. I mean, I know it's a tired old refrain, but let's get that gangbang record and marry
tandem.
It to the jumping.
Yeah. Yeah. Another idea I heard you had, which I think is brilliant, I don't understand, is the bullet train to Vegas and why that isn't happening. Do you know why?
I've lived here my entire life, and when I was in high school, they were talking about that. And
what's
it's
the
like they'll
it's
never.
Flat.
And I would. You know what I would love? The second, like it's going 180 miles an hour, uh-huh. and the second it crosses Nevada, like they do with all those bad casinos, like Whiskey Pete's and stuff
Palestine.
Like that.
Yeah.
The second it crosses, it just lights up like a pinball. Like Ooh. Everything heats up. All the machines,
oh,
the poker slots,
good.
Like everything just goes boom.
Everything
like the
comes alive.
Like Matt Helm. Like the bar falls down. Like all the whores come diving in. Like it just
Yoko Ono music blasting.
Like it's just when you cross that magnetic strip that's buried in the ground at the border, it's just pow. Yeah. You're just sitting there waiting for that thing to heat up.
Countdown guy. Five. Four.
Right. It's no better drinking than a train,
That's good.
Southwest. Like, do you have your coupon? Would you like another light beer? Right. We've outlawed peanuts because some puss called in like, oh, I don't like this. No, this is a party on wheels, man.
And that terrifying drop when they come over the mountain. A lot of times the plane will just drop.
Yeah, hard. Because it's always 1,000 degrees in Vegas. It's like,
I was on a plane going to Vegas and suddenly everyone's drinks just hit the ceiling. It just went whoosh.
We used to fly in all the time. To do crank yankers, and Jimmy's like car sick guy and air sick guy, and it's like you'd go in there
it's
in August
polisher.
And we go and he'd just have a bag, like he'd just be holding a bag and just like come on dude, don't yak, and he'd be like I gotta like could be so bad coming in, but nothing on the train, man.
No, nice smooth ride.
World's largest free fall formation. 400 people in Thailand.
Yeah, wow. So they're all, if we had 400 people linked,
so not everybody can bang. You had 100 of them can't be.
They got time.
I feel like when you're setting the free fall formation world record and like the husband comes home and the wife goes, how'd it go? There is a fucking excellent. And then there's horribly wrong. But there's no like, yeah. There's no middle. Yeah, it's okay.
Right. You know, what'd you expect?
Burt was a little off his game, but it's a 7. Like there's no, it either there's something horrific.
Right.
Or man, you. Chill the champagne, right?
Yeah,
there's
point.
No like, oh, mm-hmm. It's okay.
Right. No
as far
middle.
As record-breaking jumps go.
Yeah. All right. So we got 400 guys, and we got the gangbang record at 300, which we could up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now.
Records are made to be broken.
If she's up
right.
for it, yeah.
Adam, mm-hmm. do you shape them in like a penis and balls? Like, how are you shaping the skydivers?
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, again, these are, look.
We'll work it out later.
I'll let the experts work on that. I'm an idea man.
Right.
Okay. All right, let me tell you about the Castrol. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, and rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. It is the best. It's Castrol Edge. And it helps deliver maximum levels of engine performance 3 times stronger.
3 times, fool.
3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car. All right, do we bring it home, Gina Grad?
We'll bring it home right now. I'm home, Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm Adam Carroll. 2x4. Plywood. Car racing slick.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
We are going to be at the Seattle Moore Theater coming up September 13th, doing a live podcast up there with Adam Ray. So come say hi. And live shows all over the place. Go to adamcarolla.com for that. And check out all the stuff you need at adamcarolla.com or Chassis, where all the movies are. Kyle Dunnigan, everybody. One. That's the Instagram, at Kyle Dunnigan, one, for all of Kyle's characters and everything else. And the website, Kyle, spelled like you spell Kyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
DUNNIGANComedy.com. This has been fun, man. Come back again,
great time.
Please.
Would love to.
Love all the impressions. Love to. Let's see, where was I? Oh, Podcast One, Don't Sleep on First Degree with Jack Vanek and Alexis Linkletter. Check that out at Podcast One on Wednesdays. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Kyle Dunnigan, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a message if you want to at 888-634-1744. And then subscribe to Take a Knee. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. We'll see you out at the Ice House. August 29th, a special guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.